Blog Talk Radio.
All righty. Greetings, family. Greetings. Welcome to A Wonderful Approach. We are doing radio. We're in the classroom. The classroom is for learning, building, as we grow in our spiritual development, as we grow within ourselves, as we become the beings that we're trying to be, okay? Just what we're trying to do. You know, and the more that we try to do it, the more we actually do become it. You know, a lot of times we want to pull up at the last second and we end up missing out on the opportunities that are allowed to us. So, you know, this is one of those times I'm going to tell you, and it's so funny because I remember speaking with a sister 13, 14 years ago. A young sister, and I was telling her, you have to know when to push harder and when to be flexible and stop. So I said, you got to know when you are the oak tree and when you are the willow. Because when it's time to be the oak tree, you can't bend. And when it's time to be that willow, to allow the universe to shape, to allow whatever needs to happen to happen. When you get to that point, being rigid is not going to work. You have to have the willow. So it's one of those evenings. We need to know, how are you? Where are you? How are things moving for you? Okay? So this evening, I love the topic. I can't wait to get into it. But first, I have to go into Deja's Cafe because it was deep. Deja's Cafe, we do that every third Thursday of the month and is dynamite. It is full of business, networking, all types. She gives up the ghost. She gives us all types of business connections, tips for this. She shouts out, you know, she has a networking her own self. She has a big network of networkers and small businesses, and she works with them. And they come and share how they're getting this done. And honestly, it's free business coaching. I said the word free. It's on the radio. This is something that really I don't think enough people take advantage of because it's so incredible, okay? You can check those out, you know, Blog Talk, Deja's, D-I-J-A-H, Deja's Cafe. And last week it was religion and business. And the focus was integrity. And I thought that was so very important. We don't speak enough about integrity. A lot of times people don't see where business and spirituality come together. But, you know, spirituality is everything, and everything is business. And so it's like there's always some exchange, give and take, barter. I don't care what you call it. It's there. And we have to learn how to do the work with integrity. That when I heard the word, when I saw it, when I heard it, I was like, oh, that would solve so many problems. If we could really sit back and say, okay, I know this is a good price because this person always deals with integrity. I know I'm going to get what I said I need. I'm going to get what I want because this is what I've asked for, and this person has integrity. And so she brought on a spiritual leader, and they were making the connection between the need for integrity and the need for us to be these upstanding people in the middle of it, right? It was an absolute wonderful program. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, I strongly suggest going back and tuning in, okay? And then last week Wednesday, we hit what I would call the easy button. We did spirituality for beginners. Now, if you know me, you know that that's a trick comment because there is no real easy button in spirituality. You know, there's not any area where I could say, oh, this is just so easy. Don't even worry about that. In fact, what I find, especially when it comes to my newcomers, that spirituality can be very difficult. It can be confusing. There can be a lot of things going on at one time, and you're like, okay, how am I supposed to make it through this? How do I deal with this? And so there were a lot of good tips given out in the middle of that particular program. And I really, if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, you can always go to awonderfulapproach.com and or you can go to A Wonderful Approach, the Facebook page, and it will tell, you know, you can listen to the program. It's worth listening to. I remember, you know, there's been a number of books that I have, and I don't have anywhere close to the library that my mother has, but I have enough, right? And there are some books that I swear I've read 4 and 5 times. And every time I read them, it's like I'm reading it for the first time. I'm getting some new information. And every time I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is so amazing, you know. And it allows me to kind of go back and see, well, did you forget about this? You know, had you considered that? And then it also allows me to know confidently, you know, nope, I got this. I remember this from the last time. This is part of me now. And so it never hurts, no matter how many years of experience you have, no matter how long you've been doing something, it doesn't hurt to say, hey, I want to pay attention to this. I need to review that. There are things, I'm telling you, not shouting out my age or anything else like that, but sometimes I feel like I have forgotten more than some people will ever know. Forgotten. And I'm like, oh, no, I can't let this valuable information just go by the wayside. I need to remember this. You know, if once you've done something so long, sometimes you forget not what you've done, but the why. Why did I even start this? What was I going through? What was I thinking about? What is this good for? So I really wanted to make sure that everybody got a chance to see, you know, and go over and ask questions. It's so important, you know. There is the opposite of what my parents went through. When my parents were going through and trying to study and get everything situated, there wasn't a lot of information. It was hard to get information. There weren't books published. There wasn't blogs all over the place, articles, documentaries now. You know, there's so much information out there that they didn't have. So back then, information was scarce. And so if you knew something, it was like, ooh, super valuable. Now we're dealing with almost the opposite. There's some guru every other grass patch now. Somebody that has all of, you know, 6 months worth of knowledge spouting out, you know, things that they really don't know anything about. And so now we have the opposite of where there's a lot of people talking and not a whole lot of true applied science going on. You know, the only way we know that this lifestyle works is because we can see it working. It's been working for a while, you know. If somebody popped up with this idea 6 months ago, I'm going to be like, where's your proof, Anna DeLille? Where's your proof? Where's your proof? So we need to make sure that in the middle of information overload, that we're also taking the time to do our own research, spending time learning the knowledge, and really seeing it how it applies to our life. If it has a good application, then boom, it may be good. If it doesn't, you see your life make that crazy turn, I'm going to tell you, pull up. I see it all the time. I pull up. You know, we have classes beginning at the beginning of the year. So for all the wonderful students, yeah, enjoy your time now because we'll be studying come January, okay? And the first thing I say is stop watching the Internet. Leave the Internet alone. Don't, oh, but I just wanted to research and I just want, no, stop. Because it's too much information, and only a quarter of it's worth anything. So Now we had a different issue. But it was a good program for that. And I tell people, anytime you get a chance to sit down with a patient elder, do it. If you ever get a chance to ask questions of someone that got some, you know, time under their belt, do it. Because what you can learn just 1 hour sitting and asking general questions is worth a lifetime of reading in, Lord have mercy, YouTube videos, okay? So, yeah, just a little plug there. Just a little tip there. Don't get caught up on everything the internet says, okay? Tonight I have a co-host. And it sounds strange, you know, to call her a co-host because she frequents the program and she really is a staple in a program. But I'm like, no, this is a co-host. I want her to come on and share her knowledge because this is her topic, okay? Everybody got their thing that they're good with. That you want to talk to me? You want to talk all night to me? Two things, forgiveness and laws of attraction, period, point blank, all night. I got you. Hours. Now, this sister, I don't know if I were to ask her, you know, what's your thing? But she shares this energy with us every chance she gets, every single chance. And so we're going to have Sister Melissa come on and share with us this free-spirited woman. That's not the original title. That's not the original title. We'll go into all that. But we're going to bring Sister Melissa on, and she's going to share with us why this topic of free-spirited is so important to her, why she represents this at all times. All of the spiritual connections I was making when Spirit brought this up, I said, Spirit, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to pull in one of my resources on freeness, being free. So I'm not going to keep talking. Hold on. Where is my co-host? Press one for me so I can see you in the sea of numbers. And just, you know, even though I have a co-host, I still want everyone, if you do not mind, press one. Join the conversation. Shout one of us, both of us out, you know, and let us know what you think about that free-spirited woman because she's been an undercurrent. I'm not going to keep talking. Hold on for a second. Because as you see, I love this is one of those topics. All right, hold on. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, we are well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Today's been a very eventful day. So I'm just in that energy. Just in that good energy.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's Wednesday, and I still have a little bit of shrine duties to do, but that's okay. I'm going to get that done. And cleaning up house and doing all kinds of paperwork, but it's been a really cool day. Not to ruffle any feathers, not to go all out, just a cool day. So but I'm excited about this program, this topic right here. So tell us about the free-spirited woman, Sister Melissa.
Okay, well, in my mind, I am the epitome of a free-spirited woman. Although I've been going with feral more lately because I am evolving. But a free-spirited woman to me and how I go about my day-to-day life literally is doing what I need to do in order to live my life in a manner that is as content and as positive as possible. Now, that's the 50-year-old answer, okay? If you would ask me this in my 20s, it would have been a different answer. But it still would have had the same premise of being able to achieve my goals to do what I want to do. So it's very self-centered. It is very self spoiling. It is self uplifting. Like it there's so many different versions of free spirit, and all of it has to do with yourself. So at a young age, I saw what sacrifices it takes to be a wife or a mother. So at a very young age, I decided that is not the life for me. And every choice I've made, every thing I've eaten, like literally my whole life is about living as free to myself as possible within the limits of the matrix.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the best way for me to sum that up.
Absolutely. And in a society where the sacrifices, you spoke about the sacrifices that women make, these sacrifices are often expected with very little, you know, thanks, I can tell you that. There's an expectation that you will gladly sacrifice for childbearing your body. Sometimes, you know, back in them days, your life, you know, but you're going to gladly sacrifice your body, your finances, your time for the wife, depending on the culture that you've been raised in. That is a huge sacrifice. Just sharing the time and space and everything. And granted, I say, I do marriage counseling. I have boys that I want married. And I say that what you give, you should be getting back.
Yes.
But when you are the free-spirited woman, it's not about getting it back. It's about I'm not giving it if I don't want to give it. Forgive what society says I owe or anything else like that. I'm not giving what I don't want to give. That's the free-spirited.
Yep, because that sacrifice, like a lot of people probably think I don't understand motherhood or marriage. And I can't say that I do because I have not experienced it. But I can say that I have my own valid biases because of how it affected me. And those valid biases are just as genuine and important as somebody who's actually walked that walk. And having children, that's a crapshoot. You don't know if you're going to have good ones or bad ones. And I could have blessed this world with little Barack Obamas and Michelle Obamas. I could have done that. I don't know. But in my mind's eye, raising me at three times the level of what I am, I'm not doing that because sometimes you don't get the reward you're looking for. You don't end up with the child you want to have. And I'm not a gambler. I can't do that. That's gambling my sanity. You understand what I'm saying? Are you serious?
I can't snatch your
tongue out your mouth because you said that to me? Like, and today we can't even discipline our children the way we could back when I was growing up. And I'm supposed to be able to figure out how to make you think at age zero about what you just did? Are you kidding me? No. So, for the betterment of my livelihood, I'm selfish, yes, but I'm not. Now, I'm not going to lie. Had I met a certain gentleman that I trust with my life and we went through the whole marriage first, then kids, I might have taken a chance if I trusted that. But that's not what life dealt me. And
right.
I'm fine with the cards I played. I'm fine with it because in the end, I try to be helpful to the world around me. So I'm not that selfish where I'm just hoarding everything for myself.
Mm-hmm. You know,
so
I'm okay with that. I have two sisters. And my baby sister made a decision, and she made this decision after she saw me with my oldest, Solomon. She was 18 at the time, and she said, "I'm not doing that." I was like,
"She a Scorpio?
It's not that bad." I said, "It's not that bad," and oh, he's so cute. And she said, "No, I'm not doing that. I'm making a choice." Say it again.
Is she a Scorpio?
She's not. She's a Pisces.
Okay.
She's not.
Oh, well, that's close
she
enough.
Said, I'm not.
That's close enough. But that's close
yeah.
enough.
Yeah. And she's a great auntie, and she loves, you know, being an auntie. But she also says, you know, I like to travel. You know, I like to, you know, do whatever I want to do without having to consider children. I mean, her biggest consideration are her little puppies, okay? So she intentionally chose this life and is very okay with it. And I know there's been a lot of family pressure, like, hey, you're going to have kids and they're going to be beautiful. And she's like, it's not about the beauty. It's not about discipline. She said, I don't want to share my time. I don't want to share my money. I'm not inclined like that. I would rather, you know, I have sisters. I have nephews. I don't have to do it. And she doesn't. And so this whole idea of free-spirited, the idea of that you can choose, I'm going to tell you, I think we're just now acknowledging the choice. I know in certain cultures that are still alive and well, you don't get to sit at the table and speak if you have not had children. Because they say there's something about the child birthing process that gives you a wisdom and an understanding that makes it worthwhile. You know, I've had people ask my sister, is there something wrong with you? And I'm like, really, the audacity. But people will assume that if you don't have children by, and they started about, they were starting on me at 28 because I hadn't had one. So they have been with her probably since the same age. Like the fact that you're choosing not to have children, there must be something wrong with you.
That right there is a pet peeve, if you want to wrinkle my nerves, that's it, because I have had my wound accused of being broken, and that's how I'm going to put it, because that's how it made me feel when the question, can you have kids, comes out of somebody's mouth. That's what I hear, that my wound, and no, there's nothing wrong with my womb is perfectly healthy. I choose not to use it. This portal is closed.
Yes.
That's what this is. There's nothing wrong with me.
I wish more women would be okay with saying that, with saying, I am making a choice that I don't want to have anymore. I'm making a choice that I'm not going to have any, period. You know, I'm good, you know. And I think a lot of women, I think, you know, the whole societal understanding is that women they voluntarily make this choice, they all want to do this, and that's not always true. That free spirit is so real that we have to give it its energy. We got to give it its due respectfully. How do we respectfully allow us to be who you want to be?
Well, I see the society that we are in today, this energy that we are under, this feminine energy that is taking over is already a first start, because there's so many different things going on. A lot of women are doing, I'm going to call it ancestral work. And what I mean by that is the whole Me Too movement. You got women who are, hey, back in 1812, you done did this to my great-grandmama and you're going to pay for it. So they are actually trying to get people to pay for stuff that they have done a long time ago. And I'm glad that that's happened. We need to make that accountable for a lot of other things, but that's part of it. So you have all the torment that women have gone through over the years, especially since man has taken over religion. So they, you know, we're forced out of being the heads of households, the heads of communities, the heads of towns, the heads of cities, the heads of states, the heads of countries. We are subjected to the abuse, forcefulness abuse of certain individuals in this world just so we can have a safe place to live, just so we can have a job that provides whatever. There's so many different things that women have to go through just to be a woman and still be able to function in this world. So,
I mean, ever so recently, we have this now, everybody, please be clear. I am pro-life. But that in my heart, in my spirit, I am pro-life. All babies should be born.
At the same time, I'm not going to babysit. I already know mm-hmm. you will not get no child support out of me. And seeing how mm-hmm. I'm not willing to help take care of this little one, you need to have the choice as to what you're going to do with your life and this little one. So, I mean, I am very, very pro-choice. And me and my youngest have this conversation on a regular because he wants to understand if we have a choice, where's the man's choice? That's what he wants to understand.
He has no choice.
He's a little young to get the full grasp of it. But, you know, I wish I had more young women that understood that you have a whole lot more choices in your life than what you may see. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know
mm-hmm.
so many young people that spend forever looking for a man, looking for babies,
mm-hmm.
looking for a house, and because mm-hmm. that's what they've been told since they were 4 and 5 years old. But, you know, I can tell you as a boy mom, as someone that has spent time around men, and they're not told that. Men are not told, oh, get you a wife, get you a wife. Mine are. But in general, men are not told that. Men are told, get you a job, get you a career, get you a passion, get you that understanding, you know, be the best that you can be all that you can be. And the women are told a lot of times, find you a man with a good passion, you know. And I'm like, wait a minute. So what about my passion? So I really wish that more young people, especially young women, were told that they could start to do for themselves and set themselves up to do that, you know.
I think a lot of that is your upbringing. And then just a little earlier when you were saying about men and women having choices, and I said they don't have a choice talking about the men, they actually do have a choice because they need to learn how valuable that seed is. They need to learn how valuable that seed is, and they don't need to be planting that and leaving it and spraying it everywhere. They need to learn some control on that, but that's a whole other subject. But for the women.
That is a whole other subject. It's one
that's a whole other subject. And if you want me for that one too, I got opinions. I'm telling you. But I'm sorry. But for the women, I feel like a lot of that is upbringing. Like, I'm from the North, and I've been down here since 1999, and I have seen the cultural differences between the North and the South, even though our roots come from the same source. And I've seen families dictate to what that child of that family is going to do. Not ask, not offer, not suggest, not support, but dictate what that child is. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen to boys, okay? But I see it a lot with women having to do and be and act a certain kind of a way. And I've lived my life in a way where if I didn't like it, then I did not copy it. And if I did like it, then I copied it. And that's literally how I did my life. And I saw my friends making decisions that put them in a responsible manner too early for 18, 25 years and
mm-hmm.
being stuck or held prisoner in their current, in that situation. I didn't
mm-hmm.
see the traveling out of them. I didn't see I didn't see the smiles on their faces. I know babies are gifts and joys and all of that, but they will stress you out. Like I said, it's a crapshoot. So I saw more of the stressful, challenging, and like I said, I'm not a gambler. So in that essence, I will say you can take free-spirited and equate it with non-courageous if you want to go there, because I am not willing to make that sacrifice to my sanity on someone else who is out of my control, because people for some reason think you can control another person. And yes, mothers, I'm talking about you and your children. You can't control them. You can persuade. They are, once they come out of your portal, they are their own individuals with their own little set of rules, their own little way they're going to do stuff. You can pray that list jives with your list, you can show and demonstrate and be an example by doing it, but they still have their own brain and will make their own choices. And if it's not what you wanted to, now how do you let that happen without it damaging them? Because now you can damage your child because you don't agree with how they want to live their life.
Right.
That's a lot of power.
It is a lot. It is. You know, I wanted to talk about, you know, so we've been talking about the free-spirited woman and children. I would, you know, I also share that there are some titles and things like that. Like I know, you know, traditionally speaking, that women did not, could not hold. We're just getting to the point where we can have female ministers or reverends. I'm not sure the exact title, but I don't know if women are still ministers and women are still reverends. But, you know, there were times where, you know, women were thought that they couldn't lead or be leaders, spiritual leaders, religious leaders, any kind of leaders. You know, they weren't leading up something something very domestic, dealing with, you know, the food, soup kitchen or the pantry, and not minimizing any of those jobs. But, you know, I did think that growing up that it was strange that only the men had certain positions. And I was like, what does it take for a woman to prove herself, basically, and to say, hey, I can do this too. I can be a chairman or a chairwoman. I can be, we're just getting female imams. We're just getting some preachers, you know, and even then it's considered, you know, new age or non-traditional or something like that. So I'm like, you know, really, how do we really allow this person, this woman, to be free in the sense that she has the option to do what she wants to do without the confines of her gender?
That's a mixed bag, and I say that because of a certain role, you have to be a certain way anyway. So you have to always act in the confines of that role's rules, if that makes sense. So you got to have discipline. But most importantly, you got to have the willpower, the courage, and the openness to just do it. Because there are times when you're going to hear no. And you got to do it anyway, if that's what you want.
Yep.
You got to figure out how to make that happen. So once you start doing that, I think that builds a reserve and that character. And that builds your confidence, hopefully, if it goes in the right direction, right? So it builds your confidence. And then that will say, I'm going to apply for this. And this is what my experience. And then when you're going to present yourself in that manner that, yeah, I can do this. And that's what you do. And that's what we do every day. And I'm gonna flip it on you real quick. That's what mothers do.
Absolutely.
You have your child, especially your first one, and you don't know nothing. You think you know something. You know, you might have a grandmama. You don't know nothing. And you're going to, you know what? This is my choice. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to be the best mother I can be. And I'm going to make, and you figure out what you need to figure out to make the moves you need to make your dreams happen.
Absolutely.
So is that education? What did I do? I went to school in the evening. I worked in the daytime. I had a job that helped with tuition reimbursement back before the rules were even crazier than they are now. And I got that other degree. I needed some more money. I got another job. So people who are ambitious and have that, I need to be on the council. I need to be the head of this department. What you make those moves, you surround yourself with the folks who are going to get you there. You don't surround yourself
with
foolishness.
And you
learn how to be foolish with those people. See, that's what I told my little brother. I said, look, if you're going to be a nerd, have the fun that you can have with the nerds. You're not going to hang with the gangbangers. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to hang with the nerds, and I promise you're going to have a whole lot of fun. And you have to know what it takes to be that person and be okay with that. And now, see, being a free-spirited person, being a person who chooses how they're going to live their life, usually has a mapped-out plan, but they have some kind of organization in their mind where they can juggle whatever it is they need to juggle. Because some free-spirited people are mothers, they are wives. You know, free spirit is not just a single person who's just like, yeah, it's all about me. Mm-mm. But they have a way of supporting, of getting the support they need to make those dreams come true. If you can do that, you can do anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, look, we got a caller that would like to speak. And this is our wonderful approach. This is what we're doing. Callers are still welcome. Press 1. Come join the conversation. Share what you know and what you've seen. You know, we're trying to encourage people, you know, and present more ideas and options. So hold on, let me grab this phone line because we love our callers. We love to get that info. Greetings, welcome to the program.
Greetings. Peace, peace, peace. What's going on, twin?
Hey, what's going on?
Good evening. Good evening. Great show. Wonderful topic. All right. So hey. May God preserve you, Sheikh Mama Seven. Huh?
You know, we're about to get into it in 2 seconds. I got a good fireball question, but go ahead. Speak first.
Okay. First thing, we're talking about children. I thought that was interesting. One of the things, though, I realized, parents are born when children are born.
Mm-hmm.
Hear me when I tell you that. Parents are born when the children are born. There's no manual or anything that comes with it. And I couldn't agree more, Melissa. I think that you're right. Our children are going to be their own individual little selves, their own individual little people that make their own decision. But what parents do are give them the instruments to make the equations by. You know, yeah, they're going to make their own decisions, but if I don't put them, you know, if PG is, and that's a great thing. Listen, we need to get back to PG. What happened to parental guidance? Do they still do those ratings on television? But
yeah,
I mean, you know, like my, very weak. My thing is like, if your kid can't watch it, maybe you might want to think about yourself not watching it. You know, so it's these type of influences in the home. If you keep them out, when your children make decisions, they won't factor that in. You kind of see what I'm saying? If you monitor the information you feed them, no, we can't make the decisions for them, but we can be responsible for a lot of the content they use to make decisions by, if that makes sense.
The only thing I'm going to rebut with you on that one is the outside influences, and that's where it starts to get tricky. It's the outside influences. We're not saying – it's the inside. Let's just say everybody came from a perfect background, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you got to go to school. You got to work with these other people. And they going to influence you. They're going to have things. They're going to tempt you and show you things you ain't never seen before.
But that's what I'm talking about, the content. If you give your children something to measure that by, you know, like I grew up in an Islamic household to a certain age, and then I went to live with my mom, who was a Christian, and it was a lot more loose than living with my Abu. However, so I did get in some trouble. I got in them streets. But when things started to get really crazy, the information and the content my dad had given me helped give me measurement. So, no, you're not going to be able to stop the outside influences. You just hope that you give them enough content inside the home to be able to measure accurately. Because a lot of the people they're going to be with don't have that pull-up. They don't have those standards or that bar to measure by. Everything's all good. You know, a lot of those young people getting in trouble really don't, I mean, they know it's bad, but don't know to what extent. You know, when I sit and talk to my children, I'm spelling out repercussions, ramifications, how the world perceives you as a young black male, and even if it may go over their head right now, it's information that they can take with them, and prayerfully when crunch time hits, they're like, oh, dad said, you know, Abu said. So that's all you can really hope for is, you know, pray over your children and give them good content. Secondly, I wanted to address twins. Your free-spirited sounds a lot like rebellious woman. I'm joking real. It sounds like rebellion. Your free spirit sounds like rebellious woman.
There's a whole lot of names for it, and I'm okay with all of them because you know what? It's possibly true because I don't have to do what you told me I'm supposed to do. I don't have to do
absolutely.
That.
It is rebellion.
But you know, however, that's rebellion. However, I think a free spirited woman is freed by the direction of spirit or God, not a reactionary because you said do it and I don't have to do it. What's the motivation behind that? Is it just because some man or some authority figure told you to do it? Or are you a free spirit because the world says do this, but I'm free in God, I'm free in spirit to do contrary? You know, so that's what I'm wondering. That was kind of my question to you,
and you
twin,
know,
and to you, Mama Seven. What, you know,
absolutely.
Is it, that sounds a little bit like reactionary, but free-spirited to me, when I hear free-spirited woman, is a woman that is freed in God and a free in spirit, not to be weighed down by critiques and criticisms or to be swayed.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but like I said, that rebellious woman sounds like, yo, you can't tell me what to do. So,
it's
and then, you know, we're stepping free on that.
It's a little bit of both of that. Because,
like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both of that. But
sound
I'll tell
like
you,
that.
It is because for me to be content and live this life that is less stress as a lot of other folks have gone through because of choices that we have made, yeah, you can call it rebellious, but I don't have that weighing down my spirit. So,
yeah,
it's a little bit of both. It is to keep me, all of me, the human part, the spiritual part, all of me,
mm-hmm.
in a place where I can use the majority of my superpowers for good, but not be so weighed down and stressed out about everything that life could throw at me if I just accepted everything that life threw at me.
And also not to be tied down to someone else's interpretation of good. See, that you said use my superpowers for good. And my thing is who's making up the rules for good? Yeah. So, I mean, and that's what I want people to understand. And, you know, Brother Ibrahim, your mic is still open, okay? And it's
okay.
still open because I want you to listen to this. One thing that
mm-hmm.
Sister Melissa had said earlier is she was talking about free-spirited people. I would like to think that my children are free-spirited. And I remember maybe a year ago having a conversation with Solomon, who's moving into his adulthood, those young 20s. And he said, you know what, Mom? I can't work 40 hours a week, wake up, go to work, come home, go to sleep, wake up. I can't do that. I can't. He said it hurts my brain to think about. He said, I want to create. I want to make. I want to build. I cannot spend 40 hours a week building someone else. And I was like, don't do it. Fight the power, man. Do what you want. Do photography. Do whatever you want. And he says, okay, I just needed you to know I can. I said, okay, that's fine. So free-spirited is free-spirited. Now, his father is like, boy, when are you going to start working your 40 hours a week for 40 years to get you a gold watch or a pin or a ribbon? When are you going to start living the quote-unquote good life? You know, you're a man, work 40 hours. You don't have to like it. This is just what you do. And so we have different interpretations of good life. You know, we have different interpretations of, you know, what he should be doing. But the free spirit part of him is he's going to choose. He's going to determine what's good for him, and he's going to make the choice. So it's like, how do we get everyone there? When they say, I want this, this is what I'm going to do. Whether society thinks it's good or bad, you know, you want to be a 40-year-old rapper, knock yourself out. Even society's going to tell you, boy,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get you a job, you know. But
mm-hmm.
no, free spirit is you make that decision for yourself. And
yeah.
I don't think women have enough of that.
Within the confines. I think it's within reason. You know, I don't want to be silly with it and make it trivial. But I think all of
mm-hmm.
that's in reason. And it goes back to with what I was saying about the children and giving them content. Because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we look at your oldest son, Solomon, who says, hey, I don't
mm-hmm.
want to do 40 hours a week. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that for the good life. Yeah. However, you've given him enough content and enough morals for him to know within your free spirit, you still can't sell drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You still can't rob and maim and take from other. That's what I mean. So it's within, yes, there's freedom within God, within spirit. Mm-hmm. There are constraints. You can't just cause, you know, cause you have someone say, well, I'm a free spirit. Hell, society says I can't do this, but I want the good life. And this is the way to get good life money. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So at what point do we say, okay, now, you know, it has to be a pull up. What are the parameters in this so-called freedom?
I think that's
I get
it.
That
option is to live the life the way you want to live it, regardless to what. Now, I'm not saying that if you do something silly, you shouldn't have discipline. Yeah, you need to be punished. But if you're not and you're just living your life, you shouldn't be ridiculed or shamed just because you're not following everybody else.
But is that a free spirit or is that just a free – is that free spirit or just nafs amata, just your lower desires? Is that yourself? Is that self-gratification?
No, because it doesn't have to be a low vibrational desire. It's just a desire. It doesn't have to be a low or high vibrational. It's just a desire. So
that's my question, Melissa. So what's the difference between my lower self and a free spirit? How do I know? When do I just speak? When do I say, okay, you know, womanizing is.
No, there's no difference. That's free spirit. Free spirit means I do.
So free spirit is not always good?
No, we didn't think it was always good.
I think that goes across the board. Nothing is good or bad.
Yeah.
It's how you wield it.
And it's so funny because the first title of the show was The Wild Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And
which I like so much better. I think
I don't like it. And I did not like it.
I'm going to tell you why.
Because
spirit gives off the connotation. Spirit gives off the
connotation. Gives a negative connotation.
But spirit gives off the connotation. Spirit gives off the connotation of righteousness and positivity. But you're saying that free spirit can be equated with the dope dealer. And I would say that that's lower self. So like,
okay,
so
I'm gonna put
free
it to you
spirit
like this. Religion can be good or bad. You got negative religion, you got positive religion. It is how you wield it, brother. It's how you wield it.
Yes.
I understand that, but when you say spirit, like you can wield religion. It doesn't matter if you did. You can wield in the name of religion. It's still bad as bad. You can call it. So when you say spirit, that's what I'm saying. So when you say
everything spirit isn't actually spiritual.
That's why I'm asking. That's why I'm asking. So what? That's why I'm asking. So that's why I'm asking. What's the difference between? So you're saying, so to me, what I'm hearing tonight, there's no difference between spirit and my lower self.
No, that's
of course, there's a big difference.
I'm asking. That's what I'm asking.
Your lower self, okay, your lower self is a lower self. It's part of your human, right?
Right.
Now, the spirit is the part that's connected to God. And the spirit part is not going to be low vibrational because God's not low vibrational.
Then
you
how is selling dope free spirit? How is doing wrong a free spirit?
Let me,
when I asked earlier.
That you're missing. Let me tell you something
okay,
that you're
please.
Missing. You're missing the idea that you are a man and that we are women. And in that, there has been what we're saying, a intentional suppression of will within women. And they have to do this in order for you to accept that you only are going to get 80% or 70% of the same salary as a man. They have to suppress it in order to for you to do some of the things we do, marry, children, all of that. That has to be suppressed in order for society to have its way with women. And so
I would not disagree.
So some of the things that you naturally take as a given right, some women don't see that. So like with men want to, like if a man wants to go live his life, let's say he has a child and wants to live his life, and he sees his child every 2 weeks, and he sends child support, he would be considered a good father. But if a woman said, you know what, I want to live my life, I'm going to send this child with he daddy, and I'm going to see him every 2 weeks and send child support. She would get condemned as an evil mother. How dare you not do your mother duties?
Right. I'm not arguing the gender role. I would never argue that. That's all, like you said, that's another, I can't wait to that show. That's the show I really want to be on, you know, since we're going to be talking about men. That's a little more my forte. I understand when we talk about the free spirit woman, and I agree with a lot with saying, I just had needed clarification on what free spirit was. I know what a woman is, but what we were classifying as free spirit, as opposed to lower self, like giving into my self gratification, as opposed to, you know, was this the same as free spirit?
Even that you're allowed to do, and unless we can get graphic for a second, and then
wait a minute, before you do, Mama Seven, you keep taking it to a gender thing. If it's going to be a gender thing, I can go there, but I'm talking about free spirit. But I would
that's what we're talking about. The free spirited woman, that gender.
Okay, let's talk about if we're going to equate it to men. Okay, well, if we're going to equate it to men, I'm up for that challenge also. Because what's not going to happen is where y'all think it's going to go. But I'm listening.
So let's say a free spirited man, he wanted to share himself with many. He would be a player. There would be some people that would be like, yo, you need to slow down, blah, blah, blah. A free-spirited woman who wanted to share herself with many would be condemned. She'd be called all kinds of garden utensils and everything else like that. So, you know, the gender roles are so strong, and they're even in our spiritual community. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I do not promote that. I figure if you're going to be doing the do, you need to be married. I say that. That's my stance. It's always been my stance. And so it's like, I don't believe in that action. But I'm saying gender roles have created such a stigma.
I disagree. Here's what I disagree with. I disagree with the terminology, free spirit. If a man was doing that, I wouldn't even call him free-spirited. I would call him self-serving, self-absorbed. Society might agree, but we're not. If we're talking generalizing society, then that's, like I said, that's the next discussion, because we live in a time of the Nicki Minaj's, the little Kim. We live in a time where women have taken control and even exploited their own sexuality.
Not really.
So that's a whole nother conversation. Yeah. What I'm talking about, though, is when you say free-spirited, what is the difference for us spiritualists? Especially for men, I don't think men should walk away from this conversation thinking that you're free-spirited if you're loose with your body. You're just still operating on a lower self.
If I may, I think you're being a little bit too literal and restricted with the word spirit, okay?
Okay.
Let's loosen it up a little bit, okay?
Okay.
What she used the analogy of the fast person being free-spirited, she's saying that a free-spirited person is someone who's just not going to literally follow each rule that was given to them, okay? Period, point blank, that's what she's saying. So if they like a lot of people, if it's a man, he's a player. If it's a woman, she's, you know, a woman of the night, okay? That's what she's trying to show you how it gets.
I get that.
So what she's saying is because they have a free-spirited nature, that was the category to use. But it is a blanketed term. It's not for one specific thing. It just means that this person is going to live their life the way they want to on their terms.
Some of them are highly disciplined, are highly
favored and all of that. Some of them are raunchy. It's how you wield it.
I don't disagree with that. I'm gonna end it on this, you guys, because I have to. I won't disagree with that. What I'm having a little difficulty comprehending is because, you know, and I don't want to misunderstand. Are you sisters hiding your looseness under spiritualism and then making the gender thing? If you're loose, you're loose. And then, you know, sisters want to hide it under this spiritual thing. Everybody's Oshun now. and they want to hide it under this spiritual thing. Hold on, check me out, check me out. They want to, and I'm gonna stay on to listen to the rebuttal. They want to hide it under this spiritual thing, and then they want to make it a gender society issue. We don't have it's unfortunate, the patriarchal order, but loose is loose. You can call it what they want to call it. Loose is loose.
That's a whole other topic. Remember, you used drug dealing as an example. That's a whole other.
I'm trying to figure out because y'all saying free spirited woman like that's righteous. Like, I mean, so what's the point of the?
We also said that the free spirited woman can also want to help be the head of the church. We said all of that. You're stuck right now. But we said all of that.
So listen to the rebuttal, Brother Ibrahim, and guess what?
Okay, thank you guys for having me on. Yeah, thank you guys for having me on.
We appreciate you.
Love you, twin. Good show.
Love you too, man. I miss that man.
Look, I swear, I'm so sorry, Melissa, but I do enjoy the rebuttal. I really, really do. And you know, for everyone listening, I know they're like, oh, my goodness. Brother Ibrahim's going to be okay. He is very accustomed to fighting with us women folk, and he is going to be okay. I promise. No hurt feelings in here at all. But we do need to let you men know. We're trying to educate you. And not to say but. You know, I'll take a page out of Tiffany Unique's book. However, what we are trying to say, though, is that there are some unequal terms that I believe women are measured by. And I want to release those terms so that every woman can define herself. Some women love being domestic. They love the cooking and cleaning and running baths. And I mean, I know me personally, when I'm around a certain type of man, it makes me feel more dainty and feminine, and, you know, the voice softens a little, the giggles come out. You know, I love all of that, and I love that part of me because it is a real part of me, you know, but I also like having access to it. Like, I choose when I do my little giggle. I choose when I feel like running bath waters and bringing plates and making coffee. And, you know, like, if you've ever been up that mountain with me, if you've ever been on retreat, I won't let you get in the kitchen. I break my neck to get in there because I want to serve. And I want things to be perfect and delicious. And that is my time when I really get into it. But that's by choice. If I had to do that every day, I may not be as, you know, sweet with it just because I have to. I like to choose when I touch that energy, you know. And that's
Mama
what
seven.
We're talking about, a choice. Yes, ma'am.
Mama Seven, you saying that,
yes,
right,
ma'am.
Here. So, you know, I am finally, you know, in a position where I'm dating, you know, I have a gentleman caller. And, I've been pointing myself as feral because,
yes,
you know, I am now doing more domesticated stuff, but I still like my freedom.
Right.
And the funny thing is, lately there was a request from him to see me more often. So, now this dinner cooking thing, which is fine. I like doing that. I'm learning the kitchen. It's a little more often. It's a little more often. It's getting on my nerves. That little more often. It's gonna take me a while to adjust to this. And it's really only an additional day. It's an additional day. But do you understand how much of my time But when that male energy enters, or
yes,
I enter his home, or he enters my home,
yes,
yeah,
yes,
that feminine side of me, you know,
yes,
it's like, yeah,
yes,
okay, so
yes,
I feel it, and, yes, yeah, the giggle, yeah, I feel all of that, but I'm not going to lie to you, it's just one additional day for me right now, so I know this is going to be a long, slow process.
That's okay, that's okay. However long the process is, it sounds like you are building in a very natural way where there's you're not setting up these crazy deadlines and we have to do this and we have to get here and everything else like that. But allowing it to bloom in its own time span is wonderful. But part of that free-spirited woman is a being allowed to cook when you want to cook. See, like, I'm a great cook when I want to. When I don't want to, there's grilled cheese and soup. I'll point to the kitchen. Oh, you go right there, turn left, there's a refrigerator. You fill it up. It's full of stuff. Go get it. But, you know, when I want to, oh, it's so wonderful. It's delicious. But when I don't want to, mm-mm. And I think that's the whole point. That's not saying, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm a horrible person if I can only cook every other day. I think what it's saying is when I have the choice, when I am allowed to do with as I wish, I am a much, to me, better, kinder, sweeter woman than when I mm-hmm. than when I have the demands put on me. The demands mm-hmm. don't provoke the essence, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't. And when I'm free to make that choice, it's wonderful. And I want, you know, one thing we were talking about the kids, and I always talk about the kids because they're a big part of my life. But I also, when I wanted my boys to see and not be afraid of a woman who thinks for herself. I wanted them don't get comfortable. All she does is giggle and smile at you. Well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? You know, I'm like, no, son, no, no. You know, no, pull up. I wanted them to really, as they begin their mate selection process, to be able to be unintimidated by a strong woman. I wanted them to be unintimidated by, you know, a woman who may make money, you know, and not have to feel their manhood challenged or their manhood based only on their pockets. Unfortunately, a big part of our society, you know, has women being valued only at their body and men being valued only in their wallets, and that's not right. So if we're going to start talking about free spirited, we have to really begin to let go of what society has created as the norm and allow, you know, some of those things that are just good and wholesome and feel good and work well start to take place in our societies, you know?
Mm-hmm. I wanted to say this. I'm glad that I'm a part of a wonderful approach because me being who I am in the past that I've had, and now I am in a position because of my spiritual growth to entertain another person in my life, so to do this dating thing. And as I look at the healing process that I've been through with the wonderful approach, the information that I have gathered, the work that I have done, and I look at him and I see the different levels we are on, I am now in a place where I can understand. I don't know if I can accept it yet because I'm still working through this, but I'm getting a good understanding. I swear when that amethyst broke, I swear my understanding has been unlocked lately. But that he is a man who is, and I don't like this word, just like I don't like wild. I don't like this word, and these are words that I've heard for me a lot, and I've never taken them in the powerful manner in which I should, okay, because I don't like them. To me, they're negative. But he sees me as an intimidating person, and there is a clash there. He is very domestic, and I am not. So whatever ideas this man has of how a relationship is, I'm going to give you a great example. I work uptown Charlotte. I've been voting across the street for my job for the past 18 years. So that's how long I've been working uptown Charlotte, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He had in his mind that we can go voting together, which is, that's awesome. I like that. That's awesome. But you change the schedule, so we don't have the same schedule, so what are we going to make this happen? Because now you're going to slow me down from doing what I need to do to wait on you, and that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So it I didn't give him what he wanted because I'm trying to vote and get over it. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate and I admire and I adore that you want us to do this together. But I am feral. Okay. I am not thinking domestic when it comes to my civic duties.
Mm-hmm.
So if, when I say it's a clash, it's on a level like that. And y'all don't think I do not beat up on him, especially not on purpose, not intentionally. But I do it so easily. I have to learn. I am relearning some stuff because I don't know how to deal with somebody on that level. I don't have that. So that's one of the cons. I don't have that understanding. So I am learning from my married women. I am learning from my friends and relationships. And I am learning from my divorcee people. Things that I hopefully can take and apply in a positive manner because I too am evolving. So like I said, I am, you know, more feral than wild.
Well, I say,
but I'm not domestic.
My upbringing with my mother is 100% the diva, very domestic. House is immaculately perfect. Language always perfect. Just, you know, I grew up what I would call a perfect mother. She put so much time and energy into me, me personally, but her daughters. And everything was very feminine and very female focused. And I remember feeling like I was almost all my life holding my breath, taking very shallow breath, just very, you know, I had to eat properly at the table. Table had to be set. I remember my grandmother setting the table all the way, and I'm being like, Granny, I'm hungry. Can you just put the food on the plate from the stove? And I remember she looked at me like I was a barbarian, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm starving. And so I come from a household where, you know, the good china was used every day, and that was the life. And so for me, when I became an adult, I was like, I'm never eating at the table. You know, and even those that know me now know I don't have a dining room table, okay? And I rebel. You know, when Ira says, oh, that sounds like rebellion, it is. I am rebelling. I am saying I don't want to do that. And it should be okay because I should be allowed to live my free spirited self that I want to. And so 100%, I believe in the free spirited. So my upbringing was very prim and proper, and it wasn't me. I knew it wasn't me. And then when God gave me boys and I got to see them get dirty, and I was like, I'm okay with them being dirty. And my mother was like, oh, my God, get the hose. These children have to be clean. And I was like, you know what, for another 30 minutes, it's okay if they're dirty. I'm okay with this. And so, you know, just having more options, you know, not having to follow the programming. If you can see this programming does not work for you, you should be allowed to change your programming.
Mm-hmm. You know how many people miss out on things just because they had to follow the rules so much?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They don't even know there's, like, five different flavors of ice cream. Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's 100%. And I'm on the extreme with that. I know I'm on the extreme with that, but just being able to, okay, if I live the life that society, I'm not saying my family, I'm saying society, rolled out for me, I would have never hang glide. I wouldn't have jet ski. I probably would still be rocking a perm, I'd probably be bleaching my skin. Or something. Like, what I'm saying is, today, society, especially today, that's why I said that whole energy movement, that whole thing that's going on in the universe right now, is about letting individuals be who they are and just treating them with the respect that they muster up as a human.
Yes.
As long as they're not using their superpower for evil, then fine. We don't have to be what our grandmothers were. However, we are always going to have our grandmother's roots somewhere. You might not see it. You might not see it in the physical. It could be in the way she does her home, or he does his business. It could be in the
way a
flower is planted. You might not see it, but it's there. I promise you,
it's there.
And it's in a place where it is going to perpetuate and grow as long as the person who has that information in them has the opportunity to be who they are and have that confidence to thrive.
That's right. As you're sitting there and I'm listening to you, and you say, if I were to follow society norms, that if I were to follow, and I ask myself the same question, if you were to follow, if Mama 7 were following society rules, there'd be no Mama 7 because I was born in an Islamic household. So therefore, I would be married to a Muslim man, and that would be my highest accomplishment. I would not be able to teach. I would not be able to build. I would not be able to express my own views. Everything would be either a view of my husband or my male children, not even the female children, have a voice or a view. And so when I say there's so much that did not work for, that I was like, nope, I can't do that. I already know I can't do that. And so that makes such a difference. There'd be no A Wonderful Approach. There'd be no none of this because the societal norms don't make allowances for that. So this is why we have to make differences. And I also want to take it a half step further. I was not born under a cabbage dog. Okay, I didn't create this. I had other female ancestry, either in my family or setting examples for me as to how I could be free-spirited. You know, I did not know about Coretta Scott King. You know, outside of seeing the children, that was all we had. That's all we saw until Dr. Martin Luther King transitioned. He was killed exactly. But when he was, we got to see all of her work. She went on to have a full life of work, but that would never have been seen nor documented if her husband was alive. We can do the same thing with Malcolm X and Sister Betty Shabazz. We can do that for just about any of our African-American leaders that came and led and set examples for us, that how strong and dynamic also their wives were. And to the point that they had their own. Winnie Mandela had a huge, I don't want to say career, but she had a huge body of work that she did all herself, you know, after her husband was in jail. And so, you know, we have seen examples of women that have beat the norm and said, hey, I'm going to do something different from what society says I can do, I should do. And that energy has been moving and growing for years, you know, but it's slow and it's quiet, you know. I want to get a little louder about that because I want all of the free-spirited people to know they have a choice. You have a choice. You don't have to do what everyone else is doing, whether you think it's good or bad. You don't have to do it. You have the ability to make your own choices. And as long as you have to live with the choices now, I can tell you, being free-spirited, there is, when you start pushing against the machine, the machine is going to push back. Tell us a little bit about it. Tell us a little bit about it, Sister Melissa.
Well, okay, so like I said before about, like, choosing not to have children, you know, you get that question, you know, does your plumbing work, pretty much, which...
Yeah.
For me, it rankles, it bothers me so much, you would think I have a problem with my reproductive organs. That's how much it bothers me. You know, because I can just imagine being a woman with those issues and then wanting kids and having that issue, not being able to, and how those feelings, they got to be like the total opposite of the feelings I feel. So I feel for anybody who feels like that. You know what I'm saying? And to bring it up in such casual conversation as if, your question is really the norm. Like that, ugh. Anyway, you also get labeled things. This is why I don't like the word wild, because wild, I looked it up in the dictionary. Look, before this, I looked up wild, sterile and domestic, just to make sure I'm not misusing these words. And while it came with so many barbaric, it came with uncivilized, it came with no control. Like, it's just everything about it was just so negative. And that's why I don't like the word, brother. That's why I don't like the word. Wild is a great word, but as soon as we put wild in it, you were stuck on the looseness. And that's what I'm talking about. That's not what that is.
Yes.
Okay. So
you
get those negative connotations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You get labeled difficult to work with. You can be blackballed. There are so many different things. And then the people who admire you, if they're not as strong as you, they have to do it in secret. You don't even get the award, the praise, the support you need. The resources is harder to get. I mean, you really have people of steel when they support someone who is going to live their life the way they want to live it on their own terms, and they're going to support them. That takes a lot. There's a show, The First Lady. Viola Davis was playing Michelle Obama in it. They also had Betty Ford, and they had Eleanor Roosevelt. And all those women, I would put in the label of free spirit. The things that they had to do, the pressure they had to overcome just to be heard, and you got to think of the different times. You're talking the early 1900s, the mid-1900s, and then the 2000s, All I'm saying is this. Being human means you're going to have a lot of ups and downs. And some people have more downs than ups. Some people only remember the downs. Just to live the life the way you want to live and be comfortable, which is all I'm doing. Living my life the way I can be comfortable. Worship the way I feel comfortable worshiping. Treat people the way I feel comfortable treating people, receiving people the way I feel comfortable receiving people. All of that is how I base what it is I want in life. Do I want this? Do I not want this? If I want this, what do I have to do to make it happen? Do I have to knock over people to make it happen, or will I get help to make it happen? How does all that go down? And some of the things that I want to do, like, you know, hang gliding, everybody don't want to do. So do I not go because I want to be in the air for my silly reasons? Or do I figure out a way to make myself happy because I can't depend on the masses? I'm going to make myself happy. I'm going to be in the air.
Right.
I told you I'm going
to
elevate
air.
By any means necessary.
I'm going to be scuba diving. So when you decide that I'm going to be free-spirited, you will go caving. How about this? I'm going to make it simpler. You'll go to dinner by yourself if you want. If you wake up and you're like, I really want to eat this. This is what I want. When you are free-spirited, you will go and eat by yourself if that's what you want. When you are free-spirited, you will, very simple, very feasible, you'll go to the movies by yourself if you want. If you really want to go see, I like to see superhero movies, and if it's really good, I like to see them twice. I don't mind going by myself, and it's okay. You know, I'm sure people are looking. I'm sure, and it's okay. They can look if they wish. I am going to see this movie, okay? And I will, you know, I'm a fan. This is what I do. But free-spirited is going to allow me to do that, whereas others will just miss out. They won't have the opportunity to go. They won't do it. So it's like, how do we really capture that spirit and allow it to be all that it needs to be, all it wants to be? So, Sister Melissa, I tell you, thank you so much. Like I said, I knew I had to grab you. I knew that you would be able to, willing to, you know, just from the life that you've lived, be able to understand the importance of this, you know, and understand the importance of, hey, I'm not going to just be chill and let this go. I want something. I'm going to go get it, period. I knew I had to grab you. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. 2 minutes. What would you like all the young wild ones, the young free ones coming up, what would you like them to know about being a free spirit?
All I'm going to say is this. whatever it is that you decide that you want to do in life. I don't care if it's get a puppy or become an astronaut or become a vagrant. I don't care what it is that you want to do. Make sure you start to do your diligence to find out what it takes to become that particular person and figure out a timeline and a way to put one foot in front of the other and make it happen. The folks who are attracted to you along the way, I hope you can learn the value in the ones who deserve the value, and you can have that discernment to discard the ones who bring no value, because that's going to be important to you as well. Know your limitations, know yourself, and don't be afraid. If you're very, very, very afraid, don't do it. But if you just have that jitters, that okay, and you have the gumption to go for it, go for it.
Go for it, yes. How awesome, how awesome. And, you know, as we are, you know that we have every year there's a new group of millennials that come into A Wonderful Approach. That come into learning about their spirit, their spirituality. And whenever I see them, I see that free-spirited energy, because some of them are coming not because of their family tradition. They're just coming because they can't help it. They know there's something more here. So, you know, I want to encourage them, keep pushing. I don't care if no one's doing it. I don't care if you're the first person in your family to try it. I don't care. Just keep going. Be true to your own self.
Mm-hmm.
Be true to your own self. You know, allow yourself to be yourself and be true to yourself. Okay? So, yeah. And one thing you said at the very beginning that I wanted to touch on, because I know we're moving into prayer right now, but you said, this is the 50-year-old me talking. Same here. This is the 50-year-old me talking, and there was a time when it was a rebel, almost without a cause. There was a time when that existed, but at 50, I know more, I feel more, I'm ready for more. And so for my young ones, understand that this is going to morph and change and adjust, but it's going to be whatever you determine it to be. And everyone else is going to have to be okay with that. So I want to keep encouraging that energy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
And you're going to have to be okay with, I'm sorry, and you're going to have to be okay with the things that happen. So whatever consequences, you're going to have to be okay with it. So the earlier you can be okay with the way things happen, and, you know, that forgiveness that Mama 7 keeps talking about, when you can get to that point of being forgiving whatever happens, forgiving yourself for whatever happens, the quicker you can get there, then I think the less stressful life will be for you.
Amen. 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 Well, we're moving into the prayer portion of the show, of the program. It's important that we end in prayer. It's important that we continue the prayer. You know, the prayer is going to allow us to keep that free spirit and energy, positive, righteous, and all that other good stuff. It's been such a long time since I've had a co-host. Sister Melissa, would you like to do the ending prayer for us?
Sure.
How wonderful. How wonderful. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Father, Mother God, thank you so much for A Wonderful Approach in this evening and life, and even the challenges that we have. I want to ask that you bless everybody on the call. Everyone is probably going through something, hopefully some good stuff, but I'm sure that there are folks on the phone who are going through some not so good stuff. So I ask that you watch over them, protect them, have their ancestors watch over them to continue to push them forward, to do whatever they need to do to persevere. If the Orisha is over their heads, ask them to make sure that they use that energy and that power to do the right thing and to be able to do God's will as needed. And we continue to watch over each other, be there for each other, protect each other, and know that we have each other to lean on. This is a great group. I thank you personally for allowing me to have friends who bring me into this group and to be welcome and protected and guided in the way that I am. And I'm sure that people who are hearing my voice feel the same way. Just want to say thank you for everything that you have given me and everyone on this call, their families and their loved ones. Just thank you for blessing and protecting us, and please continue to watch over us as we need you more than ever. Ashe.
Ashe.